Today, we continue in our series, The Facts of Life, with one fact that almost nobody questions. In fact, the only ones that do question it are those who think that this life is it. Those who think that this life is the end, there's nothing else. The truth is, most people in the world, regardless of their religious beliefs, believe that there is some version of heaven. In fact, one of the biggest hurdles we have in evangelical circles today is that everybody believes that our default is heaven. We believe that when we get there, we're supposed to go to heaven, and as long as we didn't do too many bad things, that's where we're going. And when we get there, if we've done too many bad things, then we don't get to go. But everybody believes that only the truly evil people don't get in, and we get to define who truly evil is. That's what people tend to believe across culture in general. So what do we do with this idea of heaven? How do we discuss the fact of heaven if everybody believes in heaven? If everybody believes in some kind of afterlife? Well, we have to look at what the Bible tells us about heaven. And we could turn to many places and talk about physical descriptions. You get in the Bible and you get into some of those prophetic books and you get in the book of Revelation, things like that. We find city measurements. We find building materials. We find timing. We find any number of things that can be read and discussed about heaven. The problem with discussing those as the facts of life is that much of the language used may not be as literal as it is figuratively descriptive. I'll give you an example. How many of us sing songs and read verses that talk about the streets of gold in heaven? Now, heaven could literally have streets of gold. Or that could be God's way of telling us that heaven is so much more spectacular than we could ever believe, that the most valuable thing here is simply pavement there. And so both ways of looking at that could be true, and we honestly don't know until we get there whether that's literal gold or whether that's God's way of saying, you know what, you can't even imagine what this place is like. Because, you know, when you get here, gold, it's pavement. We don't have any use for it. There's nothing there. So when we look at those, and we have to figure out, okay, what are those details? How do we do that? And so many of the details may be interpreted differently. We want to focus on truths that are solid. And for me, the best place to turn are the words of Jesus. In John 14, Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going to die. He's just told them that the end is near, that he is going to die, that he is going to be sacrificed, and they did not take the news well. I mean, you know, Judas leaves to go and do what Judas is going to do. Peter stands up and says, never, Lord, not me. I'm not going to do this. I am not going to turn against you. I will be there till the end. And that's when Jesus says, well, you know, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows three times. You're going to get this done. I'm sorry, Peter, you're going to fail too. But then Jesus turns, and he gives them some words of encouragement. And those words are ones we look at today over in John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And there it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now and we thank you and we praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask right now that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Father, may the words that I speak be yours and yours alone. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. As Jesus starts, one of the first things that we learn about heaven is that heaven is the presence of the Father. In my Father's house. Heaven's a place. It exists. There is a place set aside that the Father calls home. There is a place that is where the Father exists. It's the home of the Father. Heaven is the place that God calls home. If my kids talk about home, they're speaking of the place where their parents exist. That's what home is to a child. It's interesting to me, an interesting phenomenon for my life. You know, last week I went to the Perrin State game because I graduated from Perrin. But Perrin isn't home. I could go and point to at least four different houses that I lived in Perrin or Mineral Wells. And of those, the only house that comes close to being called home in my mind is the place where we were a family. And we only lived there for 2 years as a family. And beyond that, that didn't exist. When my mom passed away, her will was very messy. And there were things about it that made it just about impossible to truly probate, especially since I lived 6 hours away at that point. And so the only way I could become executor was to be a dependent executor, which means I would be traveling back and forth 6 hours over and over again to stand in front of court dates and everything else. So Carrie and I sat down and we said, well, what would she want? What did she want for us? And we made the tough decision that, you know, she would just want us to be happy. We had the personal things that we wanted, and we didn't need anything else. So we made the tough decision just to let things go because it was going to cost me more to come back and forth over and over again and in court fees than what it was worth to have the stuff. And I remember a family member getting very upset with me. And they just could not believe that I wasn't going to pursue this harder, that I was going to let her house go and maybe be sold for taxes. And I remember them getting in my face and almost yelling at me, saying, but you're not even fighting for your home. And I'll never forget the look on their face when I said, that house is not my home. I never lived there. I did spend time there, but what made that home was Mama. And Mama's not there anymore. That building is now just a house. Home was where Mama was. That's what home is. I remember reading a story about a sick man who was lying in his bed and he was about to die and he was afraid to die. He turned to his doctor and the doctor was fixing to leave the examination room and he said, Doctor, I'm afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side. Very quietly, the doctor said, well, I don't know. And the man said, you don't know? A Christian man, and you don't know what's on the other side? The doctor was holding the handle of the door in his hand as he looked at him. And on the other side of the door, there came the sound of scratching and of whining. And as he opened the door, a dog sprang into the room and leaped up on him with eagerness and a show of gladness, just licking him all over. And he turned to the patient and he said, did you notice my dog? He's never been in this room before. He didn't know what was inside. He knew nothing except that his master was here. And when the door opened, he sprang in without fear. I know a little of what's on the other side of death, but I do know one thing. I know my master is there, and that's enough. Heaven is the presence of the Father. The Father is there. I don't know how many times since my mom passed that I've thought I would just love to spend 5 more minutes. I love to be in her presence just 5 more minutes. That's what heaven is. Heaven is the presence of the Father. God is there. There we were going to experience him in ways unimaginable to us now. There we will know as we are known. There we will finally be truly able to experience God's physical presence. Here in this world, most people have never experienced God's physical presence. Even on the mountain, when God was speaking with Moses, he said, I want to see you. And he said, no, you can't see me because on that day you'll die, but I'll let you look at my back. You know, that physical presence, we'll finally be able to do that. So heaven is the presence of the Father. But he goes on to say, heaven is a place of communion with others. In my Father's house are many rooms. Not a place of isolation. It's not our own private Idaho. I know some of us would love to think that heaven is when I get a cabin on a mountain and nobody else is around me and they can leave me alone and I can be by myself. Some people think that's what heaven would be like. But heaven really isn't that. Heaven is a place of communion with others. Heaven can't be a place where everybody simply gets every desire they have. It can't be that. Even though that's what the world wants us to believe. Even though that's what many people have put out there, that, well, if you want it, it's got to be in heaven. If that's your desire, it's got to be in heaven. I mean, heaven, God wants us to be happy. We're going to be happy in heaven, so everything that you want has to be there. But that's not necessarily the truth. Heaven can't be a place of solitude. Heaven, by description, is a big house for a big family. That's it. This is one of my favorite passages, especially in its Jewish context, because in that context, we're talking about a wedding. And in that wedding, a man becomes betrothed to his bride, and he begins building a room on his father's house. And daddy will periodically go and check the room, and he'll say, nope, it's not ready yet. Nope, it's not ready yet. But one day, daddy says, you know what? Son, the room's ready. Go and get your bride. And then she comes, and this is their room. That's the story here, that he is there. He is waiting. He is putting all this into it. Heaven, by description, is a big house with a big family. What Jesus is saying is we're family. Do you know who has rooms in my house? My children. I don't have any room in my house anymore because they've all went to my children. But that's just the way it works. Children have rooms in your house. And that's what's going on. Jesus is saying he's going to prepare a place in the Father's house for me. We're going to live together. Communion together. Worship together. Look around the room. They could be in the room next door. So you better hope you like the person in the room beside you. If you don't like being here now, you're not going to like being there. Because we're going to live together. We're going to be together. That's what heaven becomes, is this communion, this time to be together. This week, I got to watch and see a little glimpse of that in this congregation as I posted the need that Andrew had to put his brother to rest. And as people began to call and began to text and began to message saying, I'll give this much towards it. That's communion. That's a little piece of heaven that we're seeing here on earth, that the body of Christ comes together living as a family. That's what's described here. In my Father's house there are many rooms. We're going to live together. We're going to be together. We're going to commune together. But those rooms are for certain people because heaven is being prepared for its future residents. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to get your room ready. I'm going to do what I need to do. The most excited my kids ever get is when they have things that are just for them. And it causes fights, right? Hope y'all don't think you're going to fight in heaven and get mad in heaven because somebody else has something. But because that's not what the point is. That's where we go back to this idea of where people find this belief that heaven is everything that I want. Jesus is preparing it for me. So if he's preparing it for me, it must have every desire that I have. It is being prepared. And it is being prepared just for you. But it's being prepared just for your every benefit. Shiloh might like a flamethrower in his room. But he doesn't have it. Because it's not to his benefit. Asher would love to have a trapeze and tightrope in his room. But that isn't happening. Because his parents were designed and outfitted their rooms for their benefit. They don't get everything they want in their room. Because some of what they think they want isn't for their benefit. Jesus is preparing a place for you that is unlike what you can imagine. Because it will be everything that you could ever dream of that you didn't know you wanted. Man, I could sit around and try to dream of heaven all I want to and think, well, that has to be there and that has to be there and that has to be there. But there are things that God has in store that we can't even grasp in our mind of what heaven's going to be like. There are things he's going to do and we're going to go, oh, I never even imagined. I got to ride in Richard's car on Friday. There's a button in his car that he can push and it'll drive itself. Never thought I'd see that, right? I mean, that's where we are. That's kind of how heaven's going to be. You're going to get there and you're going to go, oh, man, I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew what I liked. But this, I can't describe it. That's why I go back to the first thing that I said about how do we describe heaven. Because maybe John was just looking for words. Man, This is so cool. This is so cool. It's like the streets are gold. Oh, this is amazing. This is awesome. You know, heaven is going to be something that we could never imagine, because when Jesus is preparing a place, he's preparing a place that's just for you in a way that you could never imagine, because it's going to give you all the things you never knew you wanted, that you never knew you needed. Heaven is going to be something extraordinary, because heaven is prepared for its future residents, but heaven is being prepared for people who have prepared themselves. Man, Thomas said, well, how can we know the way? How do we know to get there? How can we know the way? And Jesus says, what? He tells them. I mean, who's Jesus talking to here? He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to his disciples. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus isn't in heaven preparing a place for everyone. That's unfortunately the truth. We don't like to talk about that. Our world wants to say that everybody goes to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jesus is there preparing a place for people who are preparing themselves. And how do we prepare ourselves? We prepare ourselves because by Jesus. We don't decorate our houses and prepare rooms for anybody who knocks on the door. You know, if somebody knocks on the door and says, here, talk about your electric plan, I don't decorate a room for them. I just don't do that. But if somebody who's supposed to be there is coming, you get the room ready, right? When you have visitors, what do? If you're anything like my wife, what do? You run around the house making sure it's all clean, it's spick and span, it's spotless. You make sure their room is right. And if they're staying in the kids' room, all their stuff goes shoved under the bed or in a closet because there's too much stuff to deal with. We get rooms ready that way because we know who's coming. We do these things for people we have a relationship with. Our place is being prepared as we prepare ourselves. So how do we prepare ourselves? With a relationship, with following, with studying, with discipleship. We know that, as Jesus says, he is the way to heaven. That's it. Jesus is the way to heaven. I can't do anything to get myself into heaven. I can't. If I died tonight, everything that I did doesn't matter. Except for one thing, knowing Jesus. That's it. Now, there's one question you can ask. If you want to start an evangelistic conversation with someone, if you want to talk about salvation, that's the only question you have to ask. If you died tonight and you stood in front of God and God said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you answer? No answer works, except for, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I belong to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Over in John chapter 11, he says, what? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way. He's the way that we get there. He is the only way into heaven. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how you live. If you do not have Jesus, you're not getting in. What does that mean? That means you miss all the things that heaven is. You miss the presence of the Father. You miss a place prepared for you. One of the most heartbreaking things you can do is go to a place and they prepared for everybody except for you. Have you ever been in that situation? We've been there before. Because in our life, we typically live pretty far away from all of our family. So when gatherings happen, sometimes there's miscommunication. And there have been times that we have shown up, and although one person knew we were supposed to be there, they didn't tell anybody else. And so you walk into the room, and everybody's prepared for everybody else to be there, except for you. What we don't want to happen is for one day when this world is over, for you to stand before God and not be prepared. Jesus wants to prepare a room for you. He does. He wants to work on a place for you. And the only way he begins the work is when you become his. That's when he begins the work. There's all sorts of possibility out there. There's all sorts of hopeful dreams. The Bible's clear that God would that all should come. He would love for us to all be there. His house is that big. But the only way to get to heaven is through a relationship with Jesus. Maybe this morning you're thinking, Brother Troy, you haven't told me anything that I didn't already know. Well, great. I'm glad. I'm happy. And I can go home happy and eat my lunch and be good. Because if you already know everything I've told you, I'm hoping you've made the decision to know Jesus. Maybe this morning you want to pray. The altar's open. I'll pray with you. Maybe you want to turn into missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church in membership. Maybe this morning, though, you've never known Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never taken a step to say, I want to be His. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. If that's you today, you walk the aisle and you say, Brother Troy, I want to know Jesus, and we'll go from there. But wherever you're at, whatever you need, give it to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, and we thank you and we praise you for your blessings.